want to be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be faithful every day. You're the reason I'm weeping, rejoicing all the way. I can hardly wait for that eternal glorious day. I am reaching your...
You have tuned in to Let the Bible Speak, a live call-in question and answer program intended to find answers from the Bible. The Bible is referred to by many, but not strictly followed in everything. Our focus is to let the Bible speak in all matters that have to do with life and godliness. This is a live broadcast where you set the theme and you ask the questions. We'll look to God's Word for the answers. Go ahead, pick up the phone and call 308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And as you call, you can have your question written down and it be read on the air. Or you could be put on hold and then ask your question live on the air. So write this number down, 843-308-9564. If it's busy, call again as soon as someone hangs up. The purpose of Let the Bible Speak is to promote a return to the Bible as the only standard of right and to find answers from God's Word alone. That will enable us to find the true way to heaven. The true way can only be found in the Bible. If you desire to please God alone, if you believe the Bible has all the answers for life and godliness, then you come to the right spot on the dial. Now, join Nick and Ricky as we look to God for answers from His Word and let the Bible speak.
Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. As always, we are delighted to be with you this afternoon and do hope the things that we share with you from God's Word will be helpful to you as you continue your journey as a student of the Bible. Again, we want to encourage you that as you're listening and we're using passages of scriptures, that you would turn to those passages or at least write it down and look at it later to make sure that the things that we are saying are in fact in accordance to what has been revealed in God's Word. The Bible teaches us in the book of Romans 10th chapter and verse 17, Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Again, this is a live radio call-in broadcast. If you have a question and you are seeking a Bible answer, we want to encourage you to go ahead and give us a call right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. That number again is 308-9564. Today we want to talk a little bit about worship. Now, what is worship when we look at the Bible? What does the Bible talk or teach concerning this subject? The Bible shows us in the book of John, the fourth chapter, John chapter 4, and verse 23, Jesus says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth."
We are live right now, and the lines are now available, and so we would encourage you to go ahead and call in your question right now before the lines fill up. The longer you wait in the program, the more the lines fill up and the questions pile up, and so now's your opportunity. Go ahead and call 308-9564.
Again, the number here is 308-9564. The lines are now available, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind.
We've been talking today about worship. Now, what does worship look like when we look at the Scripture? And the Bible shows us a lot of different things. We looked at what Cain and Abel offered initially and how that it was Abel who offered to God a worship that was acceptable. Now, note that both Cain and Abel did try to extend to God worship, but only one offered a worship that was acceptable. And there's a sense in which we could offer up worship and we could think that we're doing the right thing, but it's not right. It's not what we find within the pages of the Scripture. Over and over again on this broadcast, we stress going to the Scripture and allowing God's Word to give us the answer. Again, look at Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew the 15th chapter, we find where Jesus is really chastising a group because although they were extending worship, their worship was not according to what he said, but in fact what he called vain worship. They were following after men. In Matthew the 15th chapter and verse 7, Jesus says, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, this people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men." So here Jesus says that a person could offer a vain worship when they teach the doctrine of men. And men's doctrines today, there's a lot of it that and things that are encouraged that a person should do that when we look into God's Word, we don't find that that's been authorized. It's so important, ladies and gentlemen, for you and I to stick within the boundaries of God's Word. In Matthew chapter 7, in Matthew the 7th chapter, Jesus talks about the idea that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So just being religious, ladies and gentlemen, is not good enough. Just offering worship is not good enough. In Matthew chapter 7, picking up in verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Would that be inclusive of worship? Yeah, well, yeah, it would, wouldn't it? You see, I can't do what I want to do, and you can't do what you want to do when it comes down to the worship of God. In verse 22, he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out many demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Imagine going through the process of extending worship to God. Imagine getting up in the morning on the first day of the week and going down to the building where you worship and getting into the worship and rendering service to God and doing that for year after year after year and finding yourself now in judgment and God saying he never knew you. You see, oftentimes we think it's very, very important for us to know God. But in that day, it will be more important for him to know us. And the only way that he's going to know us is if we're doing his will. So important, ladies and gentlemen, can't stress it enough. To join us right now, you can, 308-9564, 308-9564.
We are live, and we do want you to know that you can call in your question right now, 308-WJNI, 308-9564, and you can call in your question. And we will let the Bible speak to the question on your heart. A lot of times our numbers pick up the number of calls that come in at the top of the hour. And so originally our broadcast started at the top of the hour at 2 o'clock, and we now begin at 1:30. And so we do want you to know that if you have a question, you better go ahead and call it in now because usually the lines stay full about starting at 2 o'clock. And so we do want you to join us. Again, the number is 308-9564. We will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your heart. We've been talking about worship today. We've been looking at some of the characteristics of which they practiced in the New Testament. That from the very beginning, the very first day the church began, which most likely was the first day of the week on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover. And it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. Not only the apostles' doctrine, that is, the teaching of God's word, was part of their gathering, but also they prayed. They were a praying people. And in Romans 12 and verse 12, he says, pray without ceasing. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, pray without ceasing. In Romans 12:12, that they devoted themselves to prayer. And we should be people of prayer. In Acts chapter 12, we see the church gathering together for prayer. And so that is something that should be on our heart, to be able to pray to our Father and according to God's Word. There are several things that we should be mindful of to do in prayer. We should understand there's five parts of prayer. There's the idea of that we should be learning how to give praise to God, that we should giving and thanksgiving. Now, if you hold up your hand in front of your face right now, you'll see five fingers. If you will, let your thumb represent praise. That should be the number one part of our prayer, to be able to know how to give honor and praise and glory to our God. And the reason for that is because that's what we're going to be doing in heaven. We need to get ready for heaven, and so our lives should be we should know how to give praise unto God, our Father. And so let that represent our thumb, or be represented by our thumb. And then the second thing would be we should be thinking about thanksgiving. And so let your pointer finger, your next finger in line, to be able to be representing that. Because you can point at this and that and the other, and all of these would certainly be things that we can praise God and thank Him for. We can thank Him for our family, for our food, for nature, for the beauty of this life that He's given. We do want you to know that this is a live call-in question program, and you're listening to WJNI 106.3, and we are on the line right now trying to encourage you to find answers to the questions on your heart. And thus we're going to let the Bible speak to the questions that are on your mind. The number to call if you want to join us right now is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak. The lines are now available, and we do want you to know that you can join us. We're going to take a quick break to let you know about the correspondence course that we're more than happy to send to you free of charge. And that number is 553-5157. But if the line is busy when you call, don't let that discourage you. Just hang up, wait a moment or two, and then hit redial, and you'll go right back there because we have a lot of calls going to that number as well if the operator is standing by. But this is a free information. This is free study through the mail, and you can study 24/7 in the convenience of your home. And we, of course, send this to you free of charge. Here are the details. And remember, while we're at break, you can go ahead and call in your question here. 308-9564 is the number. And this is Let the Bible Speak.
Today we've been talking about worship. Again, looking at what the Bible teaches concerning that matter, when we look at what the Bible says concerning worship, what we find is that God is seeking true worshipers. John 4, verse 24, we look at verse 23 and 24, the Bible says that God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. To join us in our discussion, this is, again, a live radio broadcast. You can call 308-9564, 308-9564. Now, a caller named Green calls in. He says, can you explain what a woman can do? Well, we appreciate you calling. There are tons of things that women can do. Oftentimes what happens as we begin to talk about this subject, we almost get caught in a trap thinking that, well, because a woman cannot preach in an assembly, and really it has to do more so with the authority that God has set forth. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 12, Paul says, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but be in silence. And so that's really what it has to do with. But as far as all the other things, there are all tons of things that they can do. And here, it's very isolated. But can they teach? Absolutely. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, you have Paul making a very general statement that is very broad. And he talks about these women who were working with him. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, he says, I urge you also, true companions, help these women who labor with me in the gospel. With Clement also, and the rest of the my fellow workers, whose names are written in the book of life. Now, just time for us to take a station ID, and I'll come back and I'll finish our discussion.
WJNI 106.3, Lexington and North Charleston, boldly proclaiming, I believe, with Jesus, nothing's impossible.
Okay, we're back. And again, what I just read was Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. And again, here, Paul talks about these fellow laborers and these women who were fellow laborers in the gospel. And so there's nothing that prohibit them from laboring in the gospel, in teaching, yes, teaching. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 26, in Acts 18th chapter and verse 26, here you have a situation where Priscilla and Aquila are together. A gentleman by the name of Apollos was teaching, and as he taught something that needed correction. The Bible says in verse 26, so he began to speak boldly in the synagogues. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Notice that it was both of them, both the husband and the wife. And then again also in Titus chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. In Titus 2, verses 3 and 4, you have, again, the older women being charged with teaching the younger women. The Bible says in Titus 2, verse 3, that the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. It goes on to say that they may admonish the young women to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And there's tons of other items like that. You see, the Bible, God never separated the woman from the man in the sense of their access to salvation. Christ loved women just like he loved men. But we have to adhere to whatever standard he put in place. In Galatians chapter 3, we see this equality existing. In Galatians, the third chapter, the Bible shows how that women have the same access to salvation, the same love, if you will, from Christ that you and that men have. There is nothing different there. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, the Bible says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ." Verse 28 is key. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." Hopefully that's helpful to you. Again, we do appreciate the call. To join us right now, you can. 308-9564. 308-9564.
Lines are now available, and we do want you to know you can go ahead and call in your question, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your heart. 308-9564 is the number. We have Carolyn calling in this afternoon. Carolyn, thank you so much for calling, and we're so glad that you are listening. And if I remember your name, you listen regularly if it's the same one. And so Carolyn's question today is, when you know you're doing something for God, that is, by God's will, and you feel opposition, how do you make it past the feeling of guilt from the opposition? Well, first of all, there are several verses that come to mind. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." The only way that we can know if it is the will of the Father is not by feelings, not by a thus says man or preacher or any other means. It's only by the word of God that we can know that. In Galatians chapter 1, it brings out that Paul himself did not even have the right to come up with something different than what was taught back then. "Though we are an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what was preached to you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so now I say again, if any man preaches any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed." So that's how we can know we're in God's will. It's not a matter of feelings or church doctrine or even people patting us on the back. It is a matter of thus says the Lord. That's the only way we can know, and that's the reason for this broadcast, to let the Bible speak. Well, it goes on to say, your question, and you feel opposition. Well, if we're doing God's word, doing what God wants us to do, and following his word, and that we know that we are following his word by, we can look and defend ourselves with scripture, examining the scriptures to make certain these things are so. Well, then we should understand that that's part of the course. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, "Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." And so, Carolyn, we are going to suffer if we're going to serve the Lord. The very fact that when we stop looking like the world, that is going to cause the world to start looking at us and making fun, or, if you will, trying to make us feel ashamed of what we're doing. And thus, that is just natural. That will occur. In 1 John chapter 4, it talks about how that we should make certain that we are walking with the Lord. That's not where I was wanting to go. In 2 Peter chapter 3, I believe it is. Where it talks about someone that in the latter times that what's going to happen, that there will be scoffers in the last days walking according to their own lusts and saying, "Where is the promise of the coming?" Well, there's going to be scoffers, those that are going to look and they're going to make fun and they're going to try to cause you to feel bad. Also, 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 3, when it says that, "For in the times past, lifetime, in doing the will of the Gentiles, you walked in licentiousness and lust and drunkenness and revelries, drinking parties and abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you." And so if we're doing what's right, then those who are doing what's wrong, they're going to try to intimidate and speak evil of you to try to get you to come back to the evil things. Matter of fact, the Lord just tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:33 that evil companionships will corrupt your good morals. And that verse started with, be not deceived. So let's never let the world start molding us in the world's image, but rather to be transformed by the renewing of our mind that we may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. That's Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Thank you for the question, Carolyn. I hope that was helpful to you. Again, that was Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, and then also 1 Corinthians 15:33 were three of the passages I just used. And so, again, you're listening to Let the Bible Speak, and you can call in your question right now. It's 308-9564 is the number, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your heart. That's 308-9564. The lines are now available, so go ahead and call in your question, and we will get to that as soon as we can.
Charles calls in this question. Charles says, talking about tithing, says, how do I reconcile paying tithes in our ministry with New Testament ideas? If I continue to pay tithes, do I need to fulfill all the Old Testament law? Well, Charles, that's a good question, because tithing was, in fact, a part of the Old Testament law. And we read over in the book of Galatians, the third chapter, how that if I do one part of the law, I am bound to do all of the law. And so I don't get to kind of pick and choose which part I'm going to do. In Galatians, the third chapter, note in verse 15, I believe it is, Galatians 3, actually is verse 10, he says, for as many as of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And so if I give by matter of the law, I am required to give to do all the things that are in the law. But now note also the idea of giving or paying tithes. The question you have to ask yourself, are you paying it by way of the law? Are you buying this on yourself as a result of the law of Moses, or is this what you plan to offer? The New Testament tells us how to give. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1, we find the Bible telling us to give as we prospered. That's 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through about 3 there. And then also in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, the Bible tells us to give as we've been prospered, not grudgingly, not of necessity. And so I shouldn't give grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so I have to ask myself, how am I giving? Am I paying that tithe as a matter of the law of Moses? If I am, then I must then do everything that's written in the law. But if I choose to give 10% of my salary according as I have prospered, willingly, not grudgingly, not of necessity, but cheerfully, then I am in keeping with the New Testament teaching. Hopefully that's helpful to you. Charles, again, I appreciate your heart, your sincerity as you asked this question. To join us right now, you can, 308-9564. That's 308-9564.
We are live, and we do want you to know that you can call in your question. 308-9564 is the number here to station, and you can call in your question right now. The questions are coming in, and so we'll try to get to as many of them as possible. So go ahead and call in your question before we start running out of time. Leslie calls in this question. If you're looking for a church, how do you know which one? Well, Leslie, that is a really good question, because today there's churches that teach everything from apples to artichokes as far as doctrine is concerned. You can find one to teach just about anything that you can imagine, and that's literal. I'm just amazed at some of the things that man has come up with, and they do it, quote-unquote, in the name of Jesus. Well, the name of Jesus has nothing to do with some of the things that are being done. So certainly you have a right to be frustrated about that, because Jesus himself brings out that the characteristics of how to find his church would be to look for the ones that are following only one standard, and that's the standard that he gave. In John chapter 20, or chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, Jesus prayed that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you've sent me. And so if we're not following that standard, and everybody using the same measuring tool, you might say, well, all these churches have Bibles. Yes, But is that the only thing they're following? Now, are they adding to it? Are they leaving things out? Do they have a human doctrine? Do they call themselves by man-made name? Or do they just worship and serve the Lord and only follow what the Lord says? That's, first of all, a key to look for. Are they called by the name that God gives? Jesus is the one that purchased the church with his blood, and thus we've got to make certain that that's who we belong to. And so I would look for a church who says that they are a church that belongs to Christ, nothing more, nothing less. And then you can look and see, are these people following what the Bible says as far as how they worship, as we're talking today? Do they worship God as they did in the first century? And that is the first century church. They broke bread. They had the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, it says, "And the disciples came together to break bread on the first day of the week." Now, if that verse had said on the first day of the month, we know that would have been a monthly occasion. If it had said first day of the year, we'd have had no problem understanding that as a yearly occasion. But it doesn't say year, doesn't say month, it says first day of the week. Therefore, we know that that was a weekly occasion where they came together to break bread. Now, there are other things that you might look for. Leslie, what I would recommend is for you to enroll in the correspondence course that we offer. It is a comprehensive glance through the Bible. It covers things that are just not taught in a lot of the man-made doctrine churches today. And it's so important for us to see what the Bible says rather than what all these churches are doing. And the Bible is clear. It's not what the Bible says that people get out of sorts about. It's what the Bible doesn't say that is causing all the confusion. And so, Leslie, that's where I would direct you. And if you'd like to talk more, be sure to call the operator standing by and just ask for a personal call. I'll call you, and we can talk more on this. And especially being that you live in Lincolnville, that opens up another option of even having a Bible study there, even in the privacy of your home. And so that is an option as well, Leslie. Thank you so much for calling in your question. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break and let you give you information about that operator standing by and receiving that correspondence course. But even while we're at break, you can go ahead and call in your questions, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your heart. We'll be right back.
Again, for those who are just joining us, you are listening to a live radio call-in broadcast where we seek to answer your questions by going to God's Word. To join us in our discussion, if you have a question that you're looking for an answer, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. We got a call from Bobby. Bobby says, if doing everything according to the Word, praying, have Jesus in your heart, would it be wrong not to go to worship service? Well, Bobby, that's a good question. This is a difficult one because she says, if doing everything according to the Word. If I'm doing everything according to the Word, I'm going to be going to worship service. In fact, what you find is in Acts chapter 2, and verse 42, where we've been studying today, is that those who obey the gospel, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The Bible talks about them continuing in fellowship. And so this fellowship is a joint participation. They were part of a local group, a local congregation, a local group of God's people. In fact, we find it in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And thus, if I'm doing what God says, I'm going to be with his people. I'm going to be assembling with his people. And to add to that, where am I going to partake of the Lord's Supper? You see, the early church partook of the Lord's Supper, what we call communion today, on the first day of the week, Acts 20 and verse 7, as was mentioned earlier. And this is something they did when they came together. So when they came together upon the first day of the week, they partook of the bread. They partook of the Lord's Supper. And thus, the only way to do that, in accordance with Scripture, is to come together with local Christians. And so, Bobby, I appreciate your question, but if you're doing what God says, you're going to be assembling with Christians. Hopefully that's helpful to you. Again, to join us right now, you can 308-9564, 308-9564.
We have Harold calling in a question this afternoon. Harold, thank you so much for taking out your afternoon and for you to join us as we look into the Bible to find out what God has to say on the question on your heart. And so Harold's question is, should a woman have her head covered in the sanctuary? And so he's taken this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and he's wanting to know when it should be applied and to what extent should it be applied. And so, Harold, that's a very good question, and we'll go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 3, he's talking about headship and how that God is the head, Christ, then man, then woman, and then talking about how that is to be applied in the day-to-day activities of worship or at any time. Let's look and see if it's talking about just at the worship, or, quote, as you put, in the sanctuary there. And when we look here, we find out that context does not begin until after this. Let's first start at verse 17 to notice the change in the context. Verse 17, it says, "Now, in given instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better but for the worse. First of all, when you come together as a church," I hear that there are divisions among you. Then again, down in verse 20, "therefore, when you come together." So it's obvious, starting with verse 17, begins a context of when they do come together for worship. Well, what about the very first 16 verses, which has to do with your question, Harold? Well, that no doubt would be applied anywhere. And so when one studies this passage, which is a very deep passage of Scripture, it should be understood that it is to be applied at any time, because the context of worship, or when the saints come together, only begins at verse 17. It is a very clear break in the context when it says, "Now, in given instructions, I do not praise you, since when you come together, it's not for the better, for the worse." And so up to this point, he is talking about application 24-7. And so then there's a lot of things that we could do in studying that passage as far as when one covers and whether it is applicable today or not. And so when you look at that, I tend to take the most simple understanding of the passage, and it makes it very clear to me that that is something that is still applicable to today. Harold, great question. Appreciate that. But just focusing on what you're asking, and that is it so supposed to be done just in the sanctuary? Well, first of all, there's no sanctuaries in the Bible. So if you mean in the worship service, well, that's not starting to be addressed until after verse 16. Harold, great question. Thank you for calling in your question, and hopefully we've been able to let the Bible speak to that question that's on your heart. You can call us right now. 308-9564 is the number, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your heart. Again, that number, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your heart.
Now, Benny calls in this question. He says, "How do you interpret the New Testament passages about not judging others?" Well, Benny, we do appreciate you calling in today. When we use that word interpret, we typically, when we talk about the Bible, no one should be interpreting the Bible. The Bible's already interpreted. What we're trying to do, hopefully, always, is just study to see what is there. And so we might say, well, how might we study New Testament passages to understand what it teaches on the matter of judging? I call your attention, Benny, to Matthew, the 7th chapter. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, here, at least, there is discussion by Jesus concerning judging. And what he says is this in verse 1, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." And verse 3, he gives us really the context. He says, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye?" The idea, there's a speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, but you have a 2x4 in your eye. He says, "Oh, how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye?" Verse 5, hypocrite. The context here is about hypocritical judgment. And so God says we cannot judge when we are guilty of the very same thing. But in no way is this text saying that you can't judge at all. That is to say, we individually can't, but God can, and his word can, and we should use his word to judge. Notice what he says in verse 5. He says, "Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Notice that he didn't say, "First remove the plank from your eye, and that's good enough." He still tells us to remove the speck from our brother's eye. Well, how would I know that there's a speck in my brother's eye unless I'm looking, and I'm seeing it, and I'm addressing it? Notice also in the text in verse 6, he tells us, do not give what is holy to dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in peace. Notice that he says we have to make a determination between who's a dog and who's a hog. And so I have to make those kind of judgments. And so no way is this text telling us not to judge. But in fact, there's more. In John, the 7th chapter, in verse 24, in John chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus does give us a clue on how we should judge. He says, do not judge according to appearance. He says, but judge with righteous judgment. Well, how do we do that? By adhering to the word of God. We let God make the call. We are not leaders. We are only followers. God makes the call, and we just follow what he says. To join us right now, you can, 308-9564. That's the number to call to get your question in. Again, we want to encourage you not to wait too late. Towards the end of the program, we start getting hundreds of calls. That's an exaggeration, but a lot of them. So go ahead and call in right now, 308-9564. We'll have another caller here. Greg calls in. He says, what is your take on women in a pastoral leadership role? Well, again, Greg, we do appreciate you calling in. Just a little disclaimer. We don't have a take. That's to say, these are not things coming out of our minds. What we're trying to do is go to God's word. And if we're failing in that, you would be our friend to correct us, to point us to other passages of scriptures that we might better know and better learn. But when we look in the scriptures, what do we see about women in the pastoral, as a pastor, role? Well, what we see is that God does give qualification for a pastor. Another word for pastor, or another term that's used in the scriptures to refer to that role, is that of the eldership or the bishop. And when the Bible talks about those who hold that role, the Bible says that they must meet certain qualifications. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul talks about how that he left Titus there to set some things in order. In fact, that's actually verse 5. He says, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders. That word is pastors, bishops, same word, in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation, insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered. And so he goes on, he gives the qualification of the pastor or the elder or the bishop, the leadership role here in the local church. And when he does that, he used the term the husband. He has to be a husband of one wife. And thus, when we look at the Bible, what it teaches concerning that particular role, that role has been given to the husband or to the man. But now note also, and this also may be helpful, a caller called in earlier asking about the head covering. In that text, what Jesus is talking about is authority. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, he's really speaking to the authority role. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to pick up in verse 2. Paul says, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and that you keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And then he goes on to talk about the head covering, but he is setting forth an authority structure.
We have a comment, another caller calling in questions concerning that again. And so that will be, Pat calls in this question. You didn't really actually answer if a woman should or shouldn't have her head covered. Can you explain a little more? And then another comment, another caller came in, comment on the covering of women. In the rest of the chapter, it says that a woman's hair is her covering. Therefore, a woman is not to cut her hair. Is that correct? Well, let's look a little bit deeper, and that's, again, all of this is contained in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll see, first of all, that is it talking about an artificial covering? Is it something that can be put on and taken off? Well, it brings out, whatever it is here, it's not right for a man to wear. So every man praying or prophesying having his head covered dishonored his head. So can a man, should a man take his hair off? Is that possible? Is that something Oh, I know you said yes with toupees. I know that that's what popped in people's minds. But again, going back, what is this talking about? Is it talking about an artificial covering, or is it talking about her hair being a covering? And so actually in the context, it is saying both, because it brings out that her hair is certainly a glory to her. Verse 7 says, a man indeed ought to not cover his head, since he is the image of the glory of God, but a woman is the glory of the man. A man is not of the woman, nor is the woman of, but the woman is of from the man. For this reason, verse 10, a woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, a man is neither independent of the woman, nor the woman independent of the man. For as the woman was from the man, even so also is through the woman. A man is through the woman, but all things are of God. And so he brings out that there is something that is being put on and taken off in this passage. And then the verse that she was referring to, verse 15, but if a woman has long hair, is it not a glory to her? For her hair is given to her for a covering. And so, yes, in this context, it is talking about her hair being long. Verse 14, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair is a dishonor to him, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her as a covering. So, yes, a woman's hair is to be long versus a man's hair is to be short in verses 13 and 14. But in the previous verses, it is talking about entirely different Greek word, believe it or not, keta kalupto, if my memory serves me correctly. And it literally means a hanging down, a lot hanging down, and it is something that is taken off and put on. And so hopefully that's not too much detail there in that passage, and it is something that is done while the woman is praying, prophesying, and while the man is also doing the same. That is a dishonor for the man, it is an honor for the woman, because she is showing respect to her head, which is man. And hopefully that's been helpful. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And by the way, those of you that are curious about that, just erase everything I said and everything I have and everything you've heard. Just sit down and read the passage. And what does it sound like to you? Well, that's what you should be doing. And that is the most easier way to approach this kind of passage. And then as you go through life, you'll review it again. You'll review it again. I've been going over this for 35 years. And it still, there are deep things about it that I have not even figured out myself. And so this is a passage that will challenge your sincerity. And so there are bigger things to consider that we have addressed on this program. I think this is probably the first time we've touched on this in a great while, if ever. And that is, there are so many in the religious world right now that are not getting the whole message as to get into Christ. In Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3, there are a lengthy list of things that one must that one has when they are in Christ. If we're not in Christ, then we are without hope. And so we need to make certain that we are in Christ. And when we come back from the break, we're going to give you some details of how to be in Christ. And if you happen to be victimized by following the things that man has come up with that leaves one outside of Christ, well, you want to stand by and hear what God's Word says as to how to get into Christ. While we are at break, you can go ahead and call in your question right now. 308-9564 is the number here at the studio. Or if you would like to go ahead and enroll in the course, then listen to these details. We'll be right back. All right, we're back live again now, and we do want you to know this is a live broadcast, and we are more than happy to let the Bible speak to the question that is on your heart. Again, the number is 308-9564. We've got just about 20 minutes left or less, and so we do want you to hurry to get your question in, and we will let the Bible speak. And by the way, we are serious about when we say that we will never ask you to donate, and it is absolutely free. We mean that. You can talk to any number of people that have enrolled, and that is exactly what we mean, that we are going to let everything that we send to you be
free of charge. And so we will let the Bible speak. We will send the Bible correspondence course to you. You can even go to our website, which is BibleAlone.com, BibleAlone.org, or any other assortment like that, and you can download previous programs, and we will be glad to help that to be part of your studies as well. And you can take time and pause it and study it anytime you would like to. That is, if you are on the computer. We have someone by the name of... I forgive me for not saying your name exactly right. Salome or Solium Holmes is the last name. I got that. And their question is, they only have strength in the right side of their body, and they want to know what would be God's reason for this. And so, Mr. Holmes or Ms. Holmes, we want you to know that we're very sorry that you have such an ailment as that. There are a lot of people that do suffer from such ailments, and it's unfortunate that those things do happen. I would direct you to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11, where it brings out, and you can remember this if you happen to be driving down the road, just remember 9-11, and then the book of Ecclesiastes, and you have a verse that answers a lot of the tragedies that happen in this life. These tragedies happen to everyone from time to time. And in this passage, it brings out that time and chance happen to everyone. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor the bread to the wise, nor the rich men of understanding, nor favor to skill of men. But time and chance happen to them all. There are things that will happen to us. We will get sick. We will have all kind of maladies from time to time. We'll have difficulties. We'll have illnesses. Probably everyone I'm speaking to has all been touched with the tragedy of how cancer can invade you or someone in your family. And those things will happen. That is part of life. But unfortunately, that is not God causing that. In James chapter 1, he brings out every perfect gift, every good gift comes from above and from the Father of lights, and with whom there is no shadow of turning. God is clear about this. Only good things come from him. Tragedies are not coming from God. They are coming from the devil. When bad things occur, we can either attribute it to the devil or we can attribute it to chance. But it's not God causing this to happen. It just turns my stomach every time I go to a funeral, and whenever I hear someone say, "Oh, I guess God just needed them worse than they needed than you needed them," and it just kind of just turns my stomach whenever I hear God being ascribed to causing a tragedy such as someone being taken out of this life. And so I hope that has been helpful to you. It's not God that causes those things. It is either the devil, or it could be just chance. Either way, it's not from God. So I hope that's been helpful to you. Again, the number here is 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your heart. Again, that number, 308, the lines are now available, 308-9564, and we'll let the Bible speak.
We have another question from Eric Dawson. Eric says, when God directed Moses to build a tabernacle, didn't God appoint some to write songs and sing? If I take this question as it's written, I get the impression, the idea of when Moses was given direction to build a tabernacle at the same time, was he given, or were some given direction to be over, to write songs and to sing? And I can't find that in the scriptures. When we take a look, I don't see that. And so I apologize if it is there, but I didn't see anything like that. What I did see is in First Chronicles chapter 25, in verse 7, seemingly after the tabernacle was built, that there were those who were responsible for music from that standpoint. 1 Chronicles chapter 25, and verse 5, says, all these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, in the words of God, to exalt his horn. For God gave Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters, and these were under the direction of their father for the music in the house of the Lord, with cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps for the service of the house of God. Verse 7 says, so the number of them with their brethren who were instructed in the songs of the Lord, all who were skillful, was 288. And so that's the closest thing I can find. Again, when we take a look at the time of when God instructed Moses to build a tabernacle, we don't typically see the instructions for Moses to appoint someone to write songs or to sing. Hopefully this is helpful to you. To join us right now, you can, 308-9564, 308-9564.
We have a caller that didn't want to give their name. Their question, if I'm getting it right, they feel that they've been born with the signs of Christ, marks of hands on their feet, etc., since birth, and also other health problems like feeling the presence of the spirits. Where does that come from? Well, I wish you had given your name so I can address you in person. Let me direct you to three passages of Scripture. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says, "There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Also, Jeremiah 10:23, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not within man that walketh to direct his own steps." And so we can see that even in the Old Testament, it was not within man to direct his own steps. It is not how we feel. It is not based upon some biological thing that may happen to our bodies. It is not even the feeling of the presence of spirits that should be directing us. What should direct us? Well, Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, Paul himself did not even feel right in listening to his feelings, for that got him into trouble. He was living in all good conscience up till Christ came and pointed out to him that he was persecuting him, and he brings out that we must make certain that we are going to do it God's way. And thus he says, Galatians 1, verse 8, "Even though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so now I say, again, if any man preaches any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." And so we must make certain that we not follow our feelings, our experiences, or even some kind of environment, or where we're feeling some kind of hocus pocus or some kind of feeling around us. No, that will direct us straight to the hot place, and I don't want to go there, and hopefully you don't either. We must go to God's Word in order to be right in His sight. Again, the number here is 308-9564. You can call in quickly, and we'll let your question be next in line if you go ahead and call in, and we'll get that on the air and be able to deal with it today. We're going to take one more break, and you can go ahead and call in right now while we're at break. 308-9564. We'll be right back. We're live now, and we do want you to know that you can call in your question right now, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to your question. We have, again, the lines are now available, so go ahead. Betty calls in this question, "Is David going to be resurrected from the dead?" Well, let me stop there. Yes, he's going to be. But her question goes on, "And rule over Jerusalem." Well, Betty, I think we went too far when we go that far. And the reason is because there's a lot of times and a lot of sensationalism in religious programming today that says there's going to be this thousand-year reign and there's going to be the kingdom of God set up and David's throne is going to be back and Jesus is going to sit on that throne and it's going to be a literal throne. It's going to be in Jerusalem. Therefore, we need to preserve Jerusalem and the Jews. Well, where in the Bible is that? Well, they take a lot of the verses throughout Daniel and Revelation, and they will mix them, throw them up in the air, and come down with all these different theories. Betty, let me give you verses of Scripture that explain this very, very clearly. I hope you have a pencil and piece of paper, and everyone listening will write these down. I'll just start in the order of the New Testament. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, there are some of you that stand here that shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come with power." Either the kingdom came back then or there are some mighty old people today. Then Luke 17, verse 20-21 tells us about that kingdom. It says, "Does the kingdom of God come with observation?" No, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. "Neither will they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Jesus said also in John 18:36, my kingdom is not of this world, for if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight that I would not be delivered to the Jews. My kingdom is not from hence. And so this kingdom of God that he's talking about is a kingdom that was set up, a spiritual kingdom. It's not going to be one that you can look at and say over there, like over there in Jerusalem. No, it will be a kingdom of God where Jesus sits on his throne. And guess where Jesus is right now, according to that great gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2? Yes, that's right. He's on his throne. And so what does a king do when he is sitting on his throne? He is ruling. Ruling over what? A kingdom. So that kingdom was set up back then. Yes, it was. You might say, well, you're going to have to prove that to me, and I'm glad to. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Paul himself, talking about one of the blessings that he received as a child of God, he says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And so Paul himself claims to be in this kingdom of God. Paul was in it. Matter of fact, as the Hebrew writer wrote about the kingdom of God in chapter 12, and the very last verse, it says, verse 28 actually, says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And if that's not enough, let me give you one more. Revelation 1 and verse 9, there at the very beginning, John himself, as he describes himself on the island of Patmos, he said, I, John, both your brother and company and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. So John himself was in the kingdom. Paul was in the kingdom. We are receiving a kingdom according to Hebrews. What kind of kingdom? A spiritual kingdom, not of this world. Not one that you can point at and say, lo here and lo there, but it is a spiritual kingdom. Those verses again, Mark 9:1, Luke 17:20 and 21, John 18:36, Colossians 1, verse 13, Hebrews 12:28, and Revelation 1:9. And if the kingdom was set up back then all of these theories that man has come up about the kingdom of God still to be set up and going to be in Jerusalem, the physical throne, those go right down the tubes. Isn't that something? Yet we keep hearing that over and over again. Why? Well, that's what gets people to start listening. If you can get all people upset and aroused because of this, well, the kingdom was set up, the church was set up. They are the same, different ways to describe the same group of people. Betty, good question, and thank you for calling in your question, and I hope you got those verses. If you didn't, give me a ring, call the operator standing by, and I'll give you a ring back. Again, that number here is 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your mind. Our operator here at the station looks mighty bored right now. You better call him if you want your question to come in. We just might have time to get it on the air. 308-9564.
Let us also take this opportunity to remind you that you can sign up for a correspondence course. We'll send that to you in the mail. The operator standing by, you can call and give that information. That number is 553-157. Again, that's 553-557. We also have a website where you can go and download some of this material. Again, we have some of our previous recordings on that website. It's www.biblealone.com. That's www.biblealone.com. To join us now in our discussion, we have just a few minutes, and you want to try to get your question in, go ahead and call 308-9564. That's 308-9564. Today, we talked about worshiping the Lord. We talked about how that God is searching for those who are true worshipers. The Bible says that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Are you a true worshiper? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Are you worshiping him the way he says? And the only way to find out is to go to the scripture and follow the pattern. In Acts chapter 2, we see that pattern. They continue steadfastly in the apostle doctrine, in fellowship, in prayer, and in breaking of bread. All these things, they continue then. And again, you have to follow that same pattern.
We do want you to know that, as I said earlier, we wanted you to be aware that if we're not in Christ, we do not have any of his blessings. The world, the religious world as we know it, many of the tracts that you find laying around only give you part of the conclusion of how to get into Christ. They'll tell you you have to believe. They'll tell you you have to repent. They will, some of them will even say you must confess your faith in Jesus Christ. Some of them actually just use that in saying you must confess your sins. But that's part of repentance. We have to admit that we sin and turn from it. But confessing our faith in Jesus Christ, and what is often left out that is not put into the story is that one has to be baptized into Christ. Romans 10 and verse 10 says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And thus we've got to let complete the process for us to die with Christ. The only way for us to, for that to occur would be for us to be baptized into Christ. You might say, well, prove that to me. Romans 6, verse 3, "Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" And so that is absolutely necessary. We want to say thank you for listening this afternoon. I know we started a little rough today from the microphone difficulty, but we do want you to know that that's just life. Life will have difficulties, and those things will occur. But only by looking to God's Word will we be able to find the answers of how to prepare for the next. The answers are not in church doctrines, in experiences, and not in anything else. We've got to let the Bible be the only thing we find. And thus, we are letting the Bible speak. Thank you for listening today.
I want to be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be thankful every day.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, a weekly live broadcast where you ask the questions and God's Word gives the answers. It is our prayer that God receives all honor and glory from this broadcast. The program is made possible by Christians belonging to Christ who meet for worship in Goose Creek. We're so blessed by God and are thrilled to be able to share God's pure gospel with you, so each of us will be prepared for the time when we'll meet God face to face and be judged by that same word. It is so very important that we turn to the Bible alone in all matters of faith. We must seek only His will in everything. We must be committed to let the Bible speak for itself. You can continue to call after the broadcast today for free Bible material at 553-5157. Call now for the material. Later, you can continue to call 24/7 for a daily recorded message from God's Word. Thank you for joining us today. Tell others about the program and be sure to tune in next week at this time for Let the Bible Speak.
Join World Overcomers Ministries this Sunday evening, July 12th, for a concert and live recording of Praise and Worship Group Purpose. The doors open at 6 p.m. with the live recording beginning at 7 p.m.